Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Thank you so much, Gail. Thank you. Something she said is so very true, is that the trials that you and I go through, they are for a divine purpose. They are not haphazard, they are not coincidental. You can believe in coincidences, but I believe in the divine providence of God. I believe that God has a plan for each and every one of you. Sometimes that plan may encompass dark valleys. It may encompass treacherous trials that you go through, but the trials are not sent to destroy. They are sent to strengthen. And you'll never know how spiritual you really are until you go through the trials. You don't enjoy any of the trials. You don't enjoy the suffering. You don't enjoy the pain. But it does make you either a better Christian or a bitter Christian. The sad part is I see some folk today, and they took the wrong turn. When the trials come, instead of recognizing that was sent from God to perhaps enlarge your ministry or direct you in a different path, to send you down a different road. But, you know, they get bitter on God. They turn their back on God. They get out of church. They quit trying. They quit reading their Bible. They quit praying. They quit fellowshipping. They want to find an alternative. They want to find pleasure or find happiness somewhere else, and that's not the case. It just doesn't work. We're going to get to James chapter 1, if you would be turning there just a minute. We've been on this, and I believe that this was of the Lord. We've been preaching, I think this is about the third or fourth week, on James and how to measure your spirituality. But I want to go back to something that Gail just said a few minutes ago again. My wife and I celebrated 43 years together, our anniversary. We actually dated 3 years prior to that, so I'm thankful for a godly wife. And we met a couple this week, and it was not haphazard, as Brother Wayne Warren and his wife Jackie. We support them as missionaries. Brother Wayne and Jackie have a ministry called Anna Ruth's Christian Retreat. And I would encourage you folk, if you ever need a place just to get away, just to relax, just to unwind, just to get spiritually fed, get physically fed, or whatever, Wayne and Jackie have the ideal place down in Enfield, North Carolina. Doesn't cost you a dime. You just get there, just drive down. They'll take care of you. Miss Jackie's a gourmet chef. Just to tell you, they've been here at our church, and we support them. But just show you, and I'm not bragging on them, but Jackie had at one time, she owned 5 nursing homes. Now you figure what kind of income that lady would have had. But they sold everything, put it into the ministry. And Brother Wayne, he should have died twice. I mean, really. One, he got stage 4 cancer. He should have died. Second of all, after he recovered from cancer, he got spinal meningitis. And those of you, some of you in the medical field, you know, probably 9 times out of 10 people with spinal meningitis, they do not make it. I had a deacon one time in the church I pastored. He got it and he died. Brother Wayne recovered. I told him the other day, I said, Bill and Lenora Morris that we met the other day. Bill said, how did you meet Wayne? I said, Wayne and I met at a camp meeting one time, but I said, some preachers, myself, we prayed him out of heaven. We just said, Lord, we need him here. Brother Wayne got stage 4 cancer and should have died, but here is the thing. He was able to lead his cancer doctor to the Lord. And even today, his cancer doctor and himself are great friends. He said the other day, I just needed something. Jackie was sick, and I called my cancer doctor up. He said, Wayne, what do you need? I'll call you in prescription, whatever I can do for you. He would never have met his cancer doctor. He never would have led him to the Lord if Wayne hadn't got stage 4 cancer. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? We sat and talked to this dear couple the other day. They have a ministry just getting started. If you'd like to know more about it, it's called Graham's House, located down on Davis Shore. And Lenore sat across the table from me the other night, and she said after we talked about our son going to heaven and talked about how we miss him, she said several years ago, and by the way, they have a beautiful house and it's open to you. They prepared a wonderful, wonderful meal for us. All that, no charge. They feed the homeless. They feed the widows on Sunday. They'll have 20, 25 people at their house. And they just want to be a blessing to other people. And there too, they just got this started, but it's the same type of ministry, Brother Wayne and Brother and Sister Jackie. But Lenore said the other day, she said, I would have never thought that God was preparing us for this ministry here several years ago when my 15-year-old daughter took her life. She committed suicide, 15 years of age. And then she said, and within a month's time, my husband decided he didn't want to be married to me any longer and left. And then something happened. The mother, I think, had to go in the nursing home. Her mother died, something I can't remember. But she said, all that God brought me through to prepare me for this ministry. And I wonder this morning, if you sit here today, you may say the birds are singing and the sunshine is bright and the kids are well and we've got money in our pocket, we've got food in our belly and everything is going great. Well, honey, can I tell you something? Just hang on. Just hang on. Because the way in which I read my Bible is this, that the trials of a Christian are something that you're going to experience it, different measures, different means. Family celebrated my birthday yesterday. I'll be honest with you, it's a little tough seeing pictures of my son and him up there. I'll be honest. You say, but preach, he's in heaven. I know he is. But that still doesn't take all the missing away, you know. I know this. And like this lady said, sitting in this building, sitting right here, the day that which my son's funeral was, and I preached, and two other preachers preached, and there were two over here that got saved, lady back here got saved, and different ones got saved, and then the next few days, my wife's brother came up to the yard and I said, David, I want to ask you the same question I asked. And by the way, he said, I couldn't say much Saturday. I was just too choked up. I said, David, do you know, I said, if I say goodbye to you today, can I say that I'll see you on the other side? He said, I couldn't say that until last Saturday, and I prayed that same prayer. I said, would you tell Brenda that you got saved? And he did. And just like in the passing of your son, sometimes God knows what we can withstand, and he is shaping us. But the whole thing is this, my friend, is that when the trials come, they will come. How do you respond? James tells us here, this is a mark of spirituality. This is the mark of a real Christian. I can't help it, but I see folk and I know people that trials have come in their life. Trials have come this year. One time they were faithful, and one time they were steadfast, and one time they loved Jesus. And not to say they don't love Jesus, but now their faith has been shaken a little bit, and now their faith is, they began to question some things, and now they're not as faithful as they used to be, and now they're not as close to the Lord as they used to be. And I just want to say, hey, you're missing the whole idea of this. It's not to destroy you. It is to strengthen you. Every time the disciples were in a storm, it was not meant to sink the boat, but it was meant to encourage and strengthen their faith. Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. And then halfway over, they began to question. Did he really mean what he said? If you're saved by the good grace of God, you're headed to heaven. Amen? That doesn't mean there's going to be some bumps in the road. That doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. I told Bill Morris the other day, we were talking about, and some of you may have been down to Harker's Island. His place is just right next door to Harker's Island, and I love Harker's Island. It is a secluded getaway. It's not a big fancy nothing, it's just a bunch of fishing villages. But I never will forget, and I told Bill Morris the other day, and I'm no big sea captain by no means. But I remember one time my nephew and I, we got in my little 20-foot boat, and we headed out, and the weather forecast was not that good. In fact, that morning we stood on the at Calico Jack's Marina, and all of a sudden some old seafaring man walked up and he said, boys, it'd be a good day for them water spouts to pop up. I said, oh, really? Oh, yeah. Like a nut, we went ahead. We're going out, and I don't know, several miles out, and all of a sudden the wind started picking up and the waves started picking up, and I told Andrew, I said, let's turn around, let's go back. And so we was trolling the shore, and we picked up a king mackerel. We was having a good old time. I mean, we was enjoying fishing. I turn around, and all of a sudden, I look, and I said, Andrew, is that a water spout? He looks around, and he said, and by the way, on radio, somebody on radio said, hey, there's a water spout in the inlet. I said, well, which inlet? And he said, Beaufort Inlet. I said, well, good. We're 9 miles down at Barden Inlet. So, but anyway, I said, is that a water spout? And he said, well, it looks like one, but most of the time it hits the water. And y'all know what a water spout is? It's a tornado at the sea. Amen? And so no sooner that it got it out of his mouth, guess what? Water started fuming up. We jerked in the lines. I hammered down. We were trying to get, everybody was trying to get to shore, just try to run around the hook, get to the lighthouse, get to land. By the time my phone rang, I picked up my wife. My wife said, I'm watching the Weather Channel and there's tornadoes in Harker's Island. I said, guess what? I'm looking at one right now. Brother Bobby, I did not enjoy that day, but it made me a better captain. Brother Steve, what it made me do is to rethink, do I really want to go out there when the weather's bad? And the answer is no, if I've got a choice. What am I saying, my friend? I'm saying this in James chapter number 1, quickly this morning. Time's going fast, so I won't keep you long. I think enough has been said. James chapter 1, notice if you would, and we preached this, but let me reiterate this. There are four things that will measure your spirituality. How do you measure your spirituality? I was thinking about this week. Some people measure their spirituality by what they wear. Some people say you're more spiritual if you don't wear jewelry. Some people say ladies are more spiritual if you don't wear makeup. I like what one old fellow said one time. He said, what do you think about ladies wearing makeup? And he said, well, I think any old barn needs a good coat of paint every now and then. Some people say the way in which you wear your hair, ladies, you know, is a mark of spirituality. I told my wife this the other day. I'll not mention his name, but there was a preacher, and he was on Facebook the other day, and I'll leave it at that. But Brother Bobby, he got on Facebook, and he said, that when he mows grass, he wears a shirt and tie to mow grass. I said, bless him, Lord. Personally, I got a pair of jeans and an old shirt on, and boots. But now, if you want to wear, hey, but here was his gist of the thing. By wearing a shirt and tie, mowing grass was a mark of spirituality. I think it's a little bit insanity myself. And if you're going to call attention to yourself, can you imagine? Now, don't ride by my house because you're not going to see me wearing no shirt and tie. Amen. I had on jeans and a shirt yesterday mowing grass. But I think that would call more attention than someone mowing grass in other attire. You understand what I'm saying? Some people say that's a mark of spirituality. Some people, a mark of spirituality, they say it's based on activities, what you do. Some people want to equate their good works. Look at what I do for Jesus. Look what I, may I remind you what the Lord said? Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we done many wonderful works in thy name? Haven't we even cast out devils in thy name? And Jesus said, I'll profess unto thee, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So don't think that doing good things is a mark of spirituality. You've got the Mormons out yonder that'll sacrifice their time, efforts, energy. They don't drink coffee or tea. Lord help, I wouldn't be a good Mormon. Amen. They wear white shirts. Oh, by the way, Brother Bobby, in some churches, I'm just going to be honest with us. I'm going to be honest with you. You and I would not fit in some churches. You know that. Because you got on a purple shirt. I've got on a yellow shirt. Hey, I've talked to some guys before. Brother, hey, listen, you're in the gospel music field. You can relate to this. I've talked to some people, and you may have too, that say, hey, before we come into a church, they tell us, hey, you got to wear a white shirt to sing in our church. Is white more spiritual than purple or yellow or green? Are y'all with me? It's not a matter of what you put on the outside. It's a matter of what's on the inside. You could have a chartreuse. Hey, went back in the 70s now. Back in the 70s when we had our singing group. I mean, we had our teen choir. We had a Silver Eagle bus. We did some traveling. Guess what? We had them polyester pants. We had them blossomed out shirts, had them four or five buttons on the sleeve, and I had on blue and white patent leather high heel shoes. Woo! Styling and profile. Granted, you look back and you laugh at that today, but some people think you've got to wear a white shirt. Listen. Hey, Brother Steve, I'm being honest. I've been in churches. I've served in churches before. And they said, you cannot sing in the choir if you've got a beard or mustache or facial hair. You know what a friend of mine said? I guess I got to shave my eyebrows then because that's... Come on, are y'all with me? Hey, some people say this, a mark of spirituality. It's a sin. Hey, I worked with a man... long time ago, I was in Chattanooga. I'm going to let you figure this out. If you don't, you can put two and two together. But their headquarters were in Cleveland, Tennessee. I'll leave it at that. But he said this. He said, growing up, he said that our church taught it was a sin to have a TV. A sin to have a TV. He said, you know what we did? We had a TV. But when somebody come over from the church, we put the TV in the closet. I'm serious. I'm not playing with you now. I'm not playing. Can I tell y'all something? You're looking at one right here that used to think it was a sin. At one time, I didn't have a TV in the house. I thought I was more spiritual. At one time, I didn't have a VCR, but I'd go down to Blockbuster and rent it. Hey, man. You see, my friend, it's not a measure of what you have. It's not a measure of a... Hey, I grew up in a strict home. I grew up in a strict environment. Thank God my daddy got saved in 1960. He was a drunk alcoholic, a barroom brawler. But when God saved him, he made some changes. And Brother C, one of them changes, you didn't have no playing cards in your house. He wouldn't allow none of us to go to the picture show. Amen. But now wait just a second. What am I saying is this. It's not a matter of those things that make you spiritual. Come by to help me out. It's not a measure of what you give up or what you put on. It's not a measure of how you cut your hair or don't cut your hair. It's not a matter if you wear rings or don't wear rings or wear a white shirt or don't wear any shirt. What? Hey, listen, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter, look in James chapter 1, and we're going to just nail this one more time and then let you go home. He says this. Look, if you would, the trials. There are four things in James. If you come back, I'll give you the other. They're trials, temptations, the truth, and the tongue. Those four things will determine how good a Christian you really are. It'll determine how spiritual you are. You think you're spiritual. You think you're spiritual. Hey, these four things will show you point blank, black and white, whether or not you think you're spiritual. Well, how you measure up. I didn't say it. He said it. Let's notice the trials in the first few verses. For he tells us there. Look in, and he says verses 1 through 12. We're not take time to read all of it. But he said in verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. That word temptation here is not the same word as he uses on down here, talking about an invitation to sin, but he's talking about the trial of your faith. It is more precious than gold. May I remind you, we said this a couple of weeks ago, but when Peter said that the trial of your faith is more precious than gold, some of you 10 carat, some of you 12 carat, some of you 18 carat, and some of you 24 carat. What God is trying to do, he's trying to take the 10 carat and make 12 out of you. He's taking the 12 and making 14. He's taking a 14, make it 18. He takes the 18, make 24. How does he do that? Puts more fire in your life. You know what happens? He burns the dross off. And the purer the gold, the more costly the gold. The purer the gold, it takes just a small amount to be more priceless. You can get some 10-carat gold, flash it around, and people think that you got something. But honey, when you got the 24-carat stuff, it's, my friend, more costly. But it's gone through the fire a whole lot more. Some of you just been in a little bit of fire. Some of you been in quite a bit of fire. And some of you getting ready to go into fire. Can I tell you something? When you walk in that doctor's office and listen, and they say, Mr. Mitchell, we want you to come back for a second opinion. And all of a sudden, your brain starts doing flip-flops. Your brain starts saying, what in the world are they talking about? You walk in somewhere, and they say, we're going to send you down here and get some more tests run. We want you to go down here and get an ultrasound. We want you to get a CAT scan. We want you to get a PET scan. And all of a sudden, they start tossing out these terms and these, and you say, what in the world is going on? And the first thing, your brain starts flip-flopping, and all of a sudden, your face starts wavering, and the devil starts playing with your brain. He says, hey, you say you love God, and you say you're serving God, and you're a child of God. Look at all what's happening to you. Look at all the trials. Listen, that lost man out yonder don't have a thing to worry about. He's got money. He's got pride. He's got prestige. He's got all that. You don't have nothing, honey. I got news for you. God is making 24 karat gold out of you. You walk in there, and all of a sudden the doctor says, I got some bad news for you. You said, oh, my soul, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I better go get a DNR. I guess I better go do this. I better go get my life insurance. Honey, what you ought to do is say, dear God, I don't understand it, but I know all things work together for good. It's going to be some good that comes out of this. And even old Job said, though the skin worms destroy this old body of mine, yet I shall see him. Hey! Somebody said one time, don't you ever threaten me with death. Amen. That's the best thing you could ever happen. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're a journeying through this world, passing through. I mean, listen, thank God I celebrated another birthday yesterday. There's not my, somebody called me up on the phone and said, hey, there's this little three-letter word that you know, it's called A-G-E and O-L-D. I said, yeah, but I'd rather have them too than the other three-letter word, the D-I-E. Because, listen, as long as I'm breathing God's air, as long as I've got 2 feet, as long as I'm upright, you know what? God's got something for me to do. I may never accomplish everything He wants me to do, but honey, I got good news for you. I'm still a trying to do what He wants me to do. I'm still a plugging on, and I'm going to plug on until the day I die. I don't know what God's got for me in the next 10, 15 years, but I know one thing. I want the latter rain. I want the last years to be the best years. I got more strength than I ever had since I was probably 20. Amen. My wife calls me Energizer Bunny. She said, can't you just... I went out west. I was out there with my sister. She's probably watching. My sister asked Brenda, is he always like this? Yeah, just, you know, got to do something. Got to get, you call it nervous energy now. Hey, it used to be I'd sit in a recliner, I'd be a couch potato. Now I want to go out and plant potatoes. Amen. Why? Because God's got something for me. I don't know what I got some dreams. I got some visions. I still, hey, listen, I want to go work with the Indians. There are some things I want to do. I want to be able to serve the Lord all my, and listen, the trials will come. The heartaches will come. Disappointments will come. Hey, adversity will come. But I know one thing. God is still a working on me. He's working on you. James chapter 1 tells us this. Look in verse 12, and I'm about done. Miss Joanne, I'm going to get you to play something for me in just a minute. I feel led to do this. Verse number 13, or verse 12. Blessed the man for when he is tried. How many of y'all would like to have a crown when you get to heaven? Well, bless God, the rest of you don't want nothing then. Honey, I want a crown. There's only five in the Bible. Most of you can't, there's only probably a couple in here that could win. All five of them. You got to be a preacher to do that. One of them. But you can win four of them. Some of you don't want to win one of them. One of them you have to get martyred for. But hey, everybody in here can get this one right here. How many of you, we'll try you one more time. How many of you like a crown when you get to heaven? Well, the Bible, I'm not sure some of them's going. Amen. Verse number 12, blessed is a man when he endures temptation, trials from when he has tried. Yes. Guess what? The Lord is going to give him a crown of life. Crown of life. Which the Lord has promised to them that do what? Can I tell y'all something? And the Bible teaches this. You can lose your rewards. I didn't say your salvation. I said your reward. You could serve God for umpteen years. And the Bible said over in John. He said that let no man take thy crown. Let no man take your reward from you. You know what you can do? You can lose it. Some people think this. I've served God for 30 years. And then you backslide and go out and drink like an old fish. And go out and run around and carouse around. You think God's going to keep them rewards stored up? Honey, no way. When you're tried, this thing of rewards is an ongoing thing. And when you're tried, oh, listen, you can receive a crown of life. But now notice verse 14. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away in own lust. And I told you last week, that word enticed is like fishing. That word in the Greek means like putting the bait on a fish hook and dangling out there. Not every fish bites the same bait. Bass will bite a plastic worm and a night crawler. And you go fishing for brim, take you some crickets, branch grubs, red wigglers, Catawba worms. What am I saying? You use a different bait. But everybody in here, the devil knows what to dangle in front of you. He knows what to dangle in front of Bobby Mitchell and Steve McPherson and Chip Graham and Frank Thacker. He knows what to dangle. You know why he knows that? Because we tell him. We tell him. Oh, but listen, thank God when the trials come and they come to make us a stronger Christian, they come in our life and you can respond and say, dear God, there is something, I don't understand it. Just like Lenora Davis Morris told me this week, I didn't understand it a long time ago when my 15-year-old daughter took her life and my world came crashing down and my husband left me for another woman and my life was just in ruins. But God had a plan. God had a ministry. God had this for me now. God's got something for you. You say, well, preacher, I'm just kind of biding my time. Honey, as long as you're breathing God's air, and as long as you got upright, and as long as you're not laid out in a bed somewhere, God's got a reason for you being here.